Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, and we are live from the Erie County Fair. Hope everyone's having a great Thursday. It is a beautiful day here at the fair. We've got a good number of people. Ran into an old teacher of mine. Well, he's not old. It was just, you know, it was a while back. And had a great conversation. And we're going to talk about that later in the show. But first, we are talking to the one mayoral candidate who will come on this show, who will come on this station, and who is out there actually campaigning on the issues that people care about, Republican candidate for mayor, James Gardner. James, welcome to the show.
Great to be on, Joe. And, James Gardner, I know, rolls right off the tongue.
Well, here's the problem. So I was looking at an email that says John Grayson because he's filling in for me next week, and then I have James Gardner, and it just gets screwed up in the head.
I've been there.
James, you know, I want to say this before we start the interview. It's good to see you out there talking about the issues. You know, I did a show a few days ago on theft and how now everything is locked up. If you want to go out shopping, it takes 15 minutes more because you have to get a manager, and that's all because of crime in the city, because of theft. And you're out there actually campaigning on the issues people care about, not standing in the middle of a crosswalk. So hats off to you. And for the first item that's got a lot of people in the city of Buffalo, questioning what really is going on, is the closure of the JFK pools.
Yeah, I mean, it is so deeply disappointing because on so many levels, that story in particular, I was there this morning, and, you know, for those of your listeners who aren't familiar with it, there's been a huge investment into the playgrounds, into the grounds around this, around the pool. It's a beautiful pool. It's big from even a city pool standard, and it's sitting there today on an 82 degree day with sunshine, and it's drained, completely drained of water, and it has nothing to do with something being wrong with the pool. It has to do with the fact that city leadership just fundamentally failed the residents of that neighborhood. The failure begins by the inability to protect, you know, the lifeguards that are stationed there, and not providing them the security resources that they so desperately want. I mean, I went in this morning and spoke to two ladies who are running a daycare there, and asked them, you know, what the situation, what's going on down there. And they made it pretty clear to me that what they want and what they need is a more visible police presence in and around the pools, not to turn it into some kind of a police state, but to make sure that people know that that there's law enforcement there to provide a layer of security, a peace of mind that is desperately needed in that community, and in that pool. And you know, I got to ask the question, you know, what would the other fundamental failure here is when it became clear that there was a problem, when it became clear that it became a dangerous situation, what did the mayor's office do? What did City Hall do? They just closed it. They rang up the white flag and surrendered to a bunch of young punks who thought they could take over a pool and intimidate a city worker. It's absolutely unconscionable. If I were mayor, I'd be sitting there right now in a folding chair with my shirt on, of course, but in a folding chair at that pool to let every member of that community know that I care about their neighborhood and it's absolutely going to be safe under my watch. We would invest all the resources necessary to make sure that public asset is open and available to the residents who pay their taxes and should get something in return for them.
Is it the lack of police, you know, on top of the fact that people feel, you know, a lot of people feel, well, they can do anything because they'll be back on the street tomorrow. And that's why we see this violence throughout the city.
Absolutely. You know, you can trace a through line all the way back, particularly on this issue, to this raise the age legislation that my opponent sponsored, signed on to, voted for, and continues to defend. It absolutely creates a level of unaccountability. These guys know, these teenagers know, that nothing's going to happen to them if they get arrested. Nothing's going to happen. They're going to get sent to family court. They're going to have to meet with a social worker, and they're going to be on their way. I mean, I'm not saying we need to, you know, burn young children to the stake for a transgression at a city pool, but there has to be the threat of accountability. And at the end of the day, there needs to be accountability, and that's absolutely what's missing right now. It starts from the legislation, the raise the age legislation, and then it comes down to what I view as a failure of city leadership to put the resources in place to make sure that those city workers were protected, that they were supported, and that the members of the community were protected and supported. It's absolutely a failure on all fronts, from New York State to the city of Buffalo.
You know, James, it seems, you know, this happens, they close the pool down. Was it discussed to bring in extra police to have someone patrol that during the day? Because, I mean, this pool was closed during some of the hottest days we saw in 2025, and it was a real loss for people in the community.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I've heard that they had some level of security there. I don't know what that means. If it's a city pool and I'm a city resident, I expect to see city police pop in. I'm not saying they have to camp out there, but if you get the indication that there's a rising, and this is what I understand, is that it wasn't just this one issue. It was a rising level of vandalism, of criminal activity that was occurring at this pool. If you're the mayor and you begin to hear that there's a real problem at this pool that you've just spent a lot of money at, and it's surrounded by a vibrant community, it is worth every effort and every overtime dollar to make sure that the members of the police department go there, have their presence be known, talk with the residents, and hang out for a little bit. At the worst case scenario, what's going to happen? The people in that pool are going to have a positive interaction with a member of the Buffalo Police Department. And the worst case scenario is they're going to be there when something goes wrong. And that's exactly what city residents should expect, not only from their city leaders, but also the police department.
You know, James, we see a lot of videos of your opponent on social media, and we know he made an appearance at, or he's making an appearance at a union gathering. Do you think that and I know I'm asking you to read your opponent, but do you think deep down your opponent knows the legislation he signed on to is leading to this, and that's why we're not seeing him at public events?
Absolutely. He knows this doesn't fit the narrative. this doesn't fit the narrative that the Buffalo News and all these Democrat politicians are out there saying, you know, violent crime is down, violent crime is down. Well, I can tell you, you can't find a single person in the city of Buffalo who thinks that their neighborhood is safer today than it was 4 years ago or 8 years ago. Everybody knows that that crime is an issue, whether it's the car getting stolen out of your driveway, or whether it's a group of young kids, a mob who take over a city pool or take over a city intersection. That's exactly the type of behavior that makes this city unlivable. It's what drives people to move, and that's what's got to stop. You can't have no other policy matters. No other policy platform matters without public safety. People have to have confidence that their neighborhood, their street, and their home are going to be safe. And right now, we are losing that battle as a city.
And before I get called out on social media, I don't call a Democrat fundraiser a public meeting. I'm talking about doing what James is doing. He's done press conferences. He's been in the community talking to the people who were affected by the pool closure. That's what I mean. So before someone wants to go on social media and say, Joe, what do you mean? He was at the Democrat get-together last week with polling cars. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing what James Gardner's doing. And James, you know, I look at Sean Ryan, and I feel like this is a guy who just is taking this election for granted, and you're out there every day, earning each and every vote.
And believe you me, city residents know it. They know who's not coming out and talking about the issues. They know who isn't walking around town. I mean, I'm standing right now at the corner of Broadway and Michigan in the city of Buffalo, right? And I'm staring at a hole in the Broadway Barns, and I'm looking at the Colored Musicians Club that is receiving millions of dollars to try to turn this neighborhood around. And the biggest blight in the neighborhood is this city barn right now. And it's those type of issues that if you live in the city, you know what the problem is. And you have to be out there, you have to be talking to people so that they know that you know what the issues are, because otherwise nothing else is going to change. And everybody I've talked to, they appreciate the fact that I'm out there. They appreciate that I understand the issues. And I have a great feeling that come November, we're all going to be surprising people.
You know, James, obviously, you had a head start because Sean Ryan had to worry. Well, it depends on what you believe, but some would say he had to worry about the primary. Obviously, you know, Chris Scanlon had his backers. Have you talked to anyone who was in that Scanlon camp who's come over to the Gardner side?
Look, I know there are a lot of people in the city of Buffalo who voted for Chris Scanlon in the Democratic primary and are so disappointed that he didn't continue the fight, and that he didn't continue the effort, and they are absolutely looking for an alternative, because the one thing they're not going to do, they're not going to do two things. They're not going to sit home. They're going to vote this election, and they're not going to vote for Sean Ryan. And the more opportunities that I have to interact with the people who voted for Chris Scanlon, the better the reception is. South Buffalo has opened its arms to me and me to them, because they know how much is at stake in this election. And I can speak for every part of the city that I've been in. The reception's been overwhelming and uniformly positive. So I'm feeling very good about it.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I just can't imagine the crosswalk videos are going over well. When, I mean, just think about this summer, the things that you and I have talked about. We're talking about the JFK pool closing now. We had the murder of the young woman from the man who, you know, again, right, was got through the system.
Amanda Thompson murder. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, time and time again, things that Sean Ryan's name is all over in legislation in Albany, and he's busy talking about. Again, I would love if all the crosswalks work. I'm not disagreeing, but to talk like that's the main issue and that's what's on people's minds, I just can't imagine that's going over well with the everyday Buffalo resident who has to get up, go to work, find a place, a daycare for their kids, go through the 9-to-5 life like most of us do. I can't imagine that crosswalks on Elmwood are at the top of the list.
That's, you got it. I mean, it's a luxury that most in the city of Buffalo can't afford, to sit there and worry about timed crosswalks, right? People out here care about real issues, the public safety of their kids, the quality of their kids' education, the taxes, and the return on their investment for those taxes. Delivery of city services is what we're talking about. And at the end of the day, the key is you don't want to interrupt your opponent when he's making a mistake. If he wants to be an ostrich from now until election day, far be it for me to interrupt him. Go ahead and do what you're doing, Sean. I'm more than happy to be out here talking with the people who are actually going to vote in this election.
Any debates scheduled between you and Senator Ryan?
Not that I'm aware of. I know I think there's going to be a forum in the Allentown Association is going to have a forum. I'm hopeful that there are going to be a couple of more opportunities where I can be in the same room with Sean and we can discuss the issues that are really affecting the city of Buffalo. But that's not going to stop me. Any invitation that I get to any group, I'm showing up because they care about the direction of the city and they care about what the future holds. And those are the people that I want to talk to.
Well, James, we're following you, and you know you always have a place here on WBEN. Anytime you want to get the message out, tell us what's going on, feel free to just call right in, and you know we'll be reaching out to you. James Gardner, he's running for mayor, and he is out there. As you heard, he's out there right now. He took a break to call in, but he's out there. And, again, when something's going on in the city, you hear James Gardner talking about it. You don't hear Sean Ryan. He's not talking to 247. He's not talking to us. He issues press releases. James Gardner will spend hours talking to us, to the media. And James, keep up the good work, man, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Thanks a lot, Joe.
That is James Gardner. He is running for mayor of Buffalo. Again, invitations are out there to Senator Sean Ryan. We would move programming wherever we had to if Senator Sean Ryan wanted to come on. But again, he's not talking about what you're talking about. He's not talking about, think about the shows we did this week. Sean Ryan's not talking about any of those things. He's not talking about theft. He's not talking about, we had Trooper O'Callaghan on yesterday talking about car thefts. Where is Sean Ryan talking about the car thefts? Where is Sean Ryan talking about crime in the city? He's not talking about it because he's tied to the legislation that has led to many of the issues in cities all throughout New York State. That's why he's not doing press conferences. James Gardner's out there. James Gardner's out there doing press conferences. He's talking. He's not just doing a press conference and leaving. He's not just doing a video with a friend driving through a stoplight. James Gardner is out there, and he's talking to each and every one of the residents in the city of Buffalo. The man is earning. He entered the race. Everyone said, long shot, but he entered the race. And you know what? He's not listening to that. He is going to each and every citizen, and he is addressing, again, what's at the top of most people's list in the city of Buffalo. And if you have been in politics as long as Sean Ryan, and you've been in Albany for as long as Sean Ryan, and you can't come here and run on what you've done as a senator, then there's obviously something wrong with that record. He should be out there. He should be talking about the issues that people care about. Again, I went to school in the city, all right? College, that is. I lived in the city for the 4 years I was in college. Well, 5 years, but, you know, who's counting? 5 years I was in college. Crosswalks were not at the top of my list, and I don't think it's at the top of people's list 15 years later. So, James, thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, we'll be talking to our guest from the fair here on, and by the way, they have delicious sweet tea. I can already say that because I've been sipping on it during this interview. We'll be back after this on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer live at the fair here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks again to James Gardner, GOP candidate for mayor. And we are, you know, open line. If Sean Ryan wants to take us up on our invite, if you look at my phone, look at my emails, I have invited him as much as possible. So it's an open invitation. Also, Congressman Tim Kennedy, I should say this before we get started on the segment. Congressman Tim Kennedy got back to me this morning. He is going to be on Hardline Sunday, September 14th. That's when the Bills play the Jets in New York. 11 o'clock, Congressman Tim Kennedy will be on Hardline. We just booked that before the show. I wanted to get that out there. We are live from the fair. We have Sam from Peachy's here, returning guest. We like when guests come back. He is a guest from last year. He has brought the pretzels and the donuts. Now, you're in a sweet mood, the donuts hit. If you're in a savory mood, the pretzel hit. If you're like me and you're in whatever's in front of you mood, let me tell you, this is a must get, and you get more than what you paid for, because it is huge portions. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with these pretzels. They're warm. You got the cheese dip. Are these one of your most popular at the fair?
Yes. So I guess fun fact about the pretzels, we first started doing the Erie County Fair 5 years ago. The pretzels were outselling the donuts by a pace of about 3-1, simply because everyone knows what a pretzel is. And, you know, these really good, obviously they're handmade, hand-twisted pretzels made from scratch. So those were runaway sellers right away, and it took a little bit for the donuts to catch up to them, just because, you know, they're a new item, and so yeah, they're very popular here.
And then you got the glazed donuts.
Yes.
I mean, and I have seen people walk by eating these donuts. I remember how popular they were last year. These have worked their way up to your bestseller.
Yes. Yeah. The donuts now are far and away the bestseller. So you can get the just a single donut, original glazed donut. And it's made for the donut was as a recipe that was in my family for years. We grew up Amish. My parents are from Pennsylvania originally, and we had a dairy farm. So my parents were some of the first to move out of Pennsylvania into North Carolina and to other areas. And my mom started a bakery to help support the family. And so ever since we were little kids, we're helping her in the bakery, kneading the dough, making bread, cinnamon rolls, that type of thing. And the donuts are her recipe. That we slightly tweaked, and then we, about 15 years ago, we took the concept to farmers markets, and now we're out on the road doing fairs and festivals.
So you've been doing the Erie County Fair for 5 years.
Yes.
I want to get back to your Amish thing in a second, but okay. You've been doing the fair for 5 years. How many fairs do you do a year, would you say?
We only do about 12 fairs a year, so we've cut back a little bit. We do... we're pretty selective now. The Erie County Fair is, as you know, one of the top fairs in the country, biggest county fair on the East Coast. So we're pretty selective, but we do about 12 in total.
12. You can be honest. She's not here listening. No one's here listening. Where does this rank in the fairs that you do?
Well, there's so many different, factors. Like if you're looking strictly at sales, I'd say Minnesota State Fair is the number one. That's a, you know, massive event. This is definitely number one in terms of just the ease of doing it. The concession staff is amazing here. Paul is amazing. The way and the people are amazing. So this is definitely number one in terms of
awesome. Just, we'd love
like,
to hear that.
Enjoyment. Like, we love coming here every year. This is the one fair that we really look forward to. And we do sell a lot of donuts here as well.
So you've got the glazed donuts. And by the way, as we're talking, my mom texted me and said, great donuts. They had them last year. They'll have them again this year. Don't worry. They're coming on Sunday. But you have more than just the glazed donuts. You have some other types of donuts?
Yes. This year we are debuting a Bavarian cream donut, which is basically the original glazed donut without a hole. And then we stuff it with Bavarian cream and we dust it with powdered sugar. That's a really good donut for a hot day. We keep it chilled. So that one's been really popular, especially on warm days like this.
Yeah, I mean, you have gotten such a warm week here at the fair. Now, you also
Absolutely.
Have the sweet tea?
Yes, yeah, we do. It's the
best sweet tea at the fair.
Thank you. Thank
so,
you.
And you can ask anyone. I am a sweet tea snob, okay? I would be honest.
Perfect.
You gave this to me at the end of the Gardner interview. It's already mostly empty. The sweet tea, any special, not don't give it away, but any special family recipe for this?
Not in particular. We steep it instead of brewing it, so it, you know, it steeps for about 30 minutes, so it gives it a really rich, full flavor. And then, of course, we make it southern sweet, so it's a really good sweet tea.
Now, you said growing up Amish, and I'm sure everyone hangs on to that. So what was it like, and what was it like growing up Amish, and you've moved out of Amish living?
Yes.
So compare the two.
Well, so we didn't have the traditional Amish upbringing we didn't grow up in a large Amish community. So like I said, my parents moved out of Pennsylvania to North Carolina and started an Amish community there. But I appreciate a lot of things about the culture, the lifestyle, the simple way of living, the attention to detail, especially when it comes to, you know, they're known for building quality furniture, making great baked goods. So there's a lot of things that you can learn in terms of craftsmanship and the culture in general. But ultimately, it wasn't for me. I couldn't imagine myself driving a horse and buggy for the rest of my life. So I left when I was about 21 years old, and my siblings have all left as well. So,
so I've seen the movie. I don't know. Can I say this on the air? Oh, I've seen the movie Sex Drive, where they break down and the Amish fix their car.
Right.
And there's something called, is it Rumspringer?
Rumspringer, yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yes.
Now, was that before you left? Did you experience Rumspringer?
So that is more of a thing in the larger communities. I didn't experience that where I lived, where I grew up. I unfortunately didn't experience that, but I have a lot of friends who did. You know, about the time they turned 16, they ditched the horse and buggy, they bought a car, they went out and they lived a life for a few years and then decided whether they wanted to come back into the church or just become part of American culture, society in general. But I have a lot of people, friends that did.
When you were growing up, if you don't mind me asking, I hope this is not too intrusive of questioning. When you're growing up, you know, you got the horse and buggy and you're alongside cars.
Right.
Like, what goes through your mind when here you are, hey, God love you. I respect that totally, but you're on the side of the road and here come all these fast cars going by you. What's going through your mind?
Right. Well, I guess, that's a great question. When you're a kid and that's all you know, then you think everyone else is weird and you're normal. You know,
that's a great point. That's a great point. Who's weird and who's not, right?
Exactly. It was normal to us.
Well, let me tell you, I am so glad that you have the pretzels, the donuts. We've talked about everything you have. Let's talk about where you're located, because I got a text. There's people who are listening to us as they're walking through the fair. So where are you located?
Okay, so we have a new location this year. It's been throwing a lot of people off, but it's not far from our old location, just around the corner, I promise. So it's right across from the music stage at Slade Park, between Slade Park and the Fireman's Building. So if you're at the Fireman's Building, if you walk around the building, you'll see it. If you're at Slade Park, walk towards the Fireman's Building and you'll find it.
And you got the trailer, right? It's the trailer with the opening.
Yes, the blue trailer with the big blue donut sign on top. So.
Yeah.
I promise we are here. We have some people, unfortunately, that were at the fair and they left. They thought we weren't here, but we are here at the fair.
Ask around, people.
Exactly,
ask around.
Exactly.
Let me ask you. So, you know, the fair goes on for the 12 days. Do you ever get walk away from the stand and experience some parts of the fair?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, this is one of the best fairs, in my opinion, to walk around. The food is like on a different level here from a lot of fairs. They don't just have like, all this whatever generic fair food. It's have a lot of really good. Pizza's amazing here. Amore Pizza, the chicken and waffles, incredible.
Oh yeah.
Tara's Grill, like a lot of places they craft really good food.
Now, do you just bring a box of donuts and trade? Do they allow you guys do that with the other vendors?
We had to discourage that with our employees. So they're not allowed to go and solicit another vendor for a trade. But if someone comes to us and says, hey, we've got some pizza, do you want to trade? We'll do it. But we just don't want our employees going out around and, begging all the other vendors for food, basically. So we have some pretty strict rules about that.
Now, after this, what fair do you go to?
So immediately after this, we'll pack up and head over to Syracuse. We're doing the New York State Fair.
Yeah.
That opens on Wednesday. So it's a very short turnover. We've got several trailers to take over, and we'll be hustling pretty hard to get that set up in time on Wednesday.
So let me ask you, is it just the 90 line of fair and carnival things going towards Syracuse? Because everyone I've talked to this week is going to Syracuse after this closes down.
It really is. Yeah, it's a madhouse there on Monday. Everyone's moving in at once, and we try to get over there early and get our trailer on location, because you might have a hard time navigating the fairgrounds otherwise.
Now, are they moving you at the New York State Fair, or do you get the same spot this year?
Yes, we're actually being moved there as well. So our line was creating some issues. We were like right in the annex, and we are being moved out by State Fair Boulevard close to Gate 4. So, yep, we're getting moved there as well. So we'll see how it goes.
So if one of those people unfortunately came to the fair and didn't ask where you were, but going to Syracuse next week, now you know where they'll be in Syracuse.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
One last time, if you're just joining the interview, where are you located again? The new location here for the next few days.
So we're located right across from the music stage at Slade Park, in between Slade Park and the Fireman's Building. So if you find either one of those landmarks, you should be able to find us.
Sam from Peachy's, let me tell you, the donuts are great. The pretzels are amazing. The sweet tea is a must-have. And Sam, what do you say a year from now we do this again?
Absolutely. I love that.
And I think next year I'll still be in the afternoon, so you don't have to worry about the early morning hit like last year.
Perfect.
Hey, Sam, really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much.
That is Sam from Peachy's. I'm telling you guys, the sweet tea is amazing. The pretzels are great. The donuts are great. And they are here, and they're actually pretty close to the tent. Now, I've got some bad news. We had a great interview. Now I have some news, and I'm going to try to find a guest at 2 o'clock to reflect on this. But if you've been in Buffalo as long as most of us have, you all know Art Wander, right? The sports guy Art Wander. I remember him from Empire Sports Network. He has passed away at the age of 98, and I got a promo from Empire. I should have probably waited to see if this was righty back in the studio. But I got a promo, because if you're my age, you remember Art Wander. If you're in your late 30s, you remember Art Wander from Empire Sports Network. Because if you were, like me, obsessed with sports, you watched Empire Sports Network from the minute you got up with the Empire Sports Report with Josh Mora. You watched Fan TV with Howard Simon and Jim Brinson, and you watched the Empire Report from that night, and then the Sabres and Robitaille and Blessing and Art Wander. Art Wander was on there. If I remember correctly, he was on at 5 o'clock on Empire. Am I getting that right? But I remember Art on Empire, and obviously had a illustrious career in Western New York, and was just such a loved personality in Buffalo, and had a very long career, but died at the age of 98. I mean, talk about a full life, 98 years old. He was known as the Tiny Tot of the Kilowatt, and he was over at WGR. Again, like I said, the Empire Sports Network. He was on WNSA, which is now The Wolf. He also did sports on WGKT, which is now 3WS 1400, an Odyssey station. He was inducted into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2008, and had been doing some work over at WBBZ, And his last commentary was in March of 2017. So sad to hear Art Wander has passed away at the age of 98. Again, from WKBW down to WOR. He went on to New York, Chicago, Boston, Tampa, Memphis. He was at WOR in New York, which, I mean, is still a huge signal in New York City. Came back, was on WGKT, WGR, Empire Sports Network. Again, if you're my age, you remember his time on Empire. You remember his time on WNSA. And then, obviously, put into the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And, okay, so Art was on at 4. I was an hour off. So Art was on at 4 for Fan TV. Or at 4, and then Fan TV took over at 4:30. I'm telling you, that, if you were like me, or if you are like me, and you just love sports, that lineup on Empire, I mean, that's what you woke up to watch the replay of the night before's Empire Sports Report. Then you would flip over to SportsCenter. Sorry, Empire. Then you'd come home from school. You had Art Wander on. You had Fan TV. You know, and I would always tell Howard Simon, I'd say, I remember watching you when I got home from elementary school. And then, obviously, the Sabres were on, the game night, the hockey hotline. You'd sit there and listen to phone calls on hockey hotline. It was just a legendary lineup. And you know, even the later years of Empire, when they would simulcast Howard's show on WNSA, like, I would run home and turn on Empire. Like, what? It's still Howard. It's just Howard on the radio now, right? And it was the live cameras inside the radio studio. And by that time, I knew I wanted to be on radio. Can you believe that? 22 years ago. And, you know, it was Howard. It was the Simon cast. I remember it like it was yesterday. And, you know, because of all those years of watching Art and Fan TV, well, I was still programmed to, when I came home, I turned on the Empire Sports Network, and they still had live, up to the last day when Howard left. I mean, that was every afternoon you'd turn on, and it's, you know, it's a familiar voice, a familiar face. And, they did some, it was some great stuff over there at Empire. And again, Art was a big part of that. Art was a big part of media in Western New York. And sad to hear that he is gone, but so many great memories that he has left us with. Again, the tiny tot of the kilowatt. And he will be missed. Art Wander has died at the age of 98. We'll take your calls on this. 803-0930, star 930. If you want to comment on Art Wander and his time in Buffalo media, like I said, I'm going to see if I can get someone to hop on at the top of the next hour. 803-0930, star 930. I wanted to talk about Art, and I also want to talk about something I saw last night when I was out doing the other job. I was delivering food, and I saw something that I posted on social media, and a mixed reaction to my reaction of it. So there's a tease for you. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Art and so much more when we come back. It is Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, welcome back. We are live from the fair here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you for making us a part of your day on this Thursday. And we are bringing you some sad news. Buffalo radio legend Art Wander has passed away at the age of 98. And to talk about it is Bob Kuschinski. Bob, thanks for joining the show today.
Well, I wish it was under better circumstances, but thank you for having me on.
For sure, for sure. Sorry to hear about Art passing. You know, I remember those days at Empire. I said, if you're around my age in your late 30s, early 40s, you remember running home from school, turning on Empire, and seeing Art. But he had a long career in media.
Yeah, he had an extensive career. Most people aren't aware of his career prior to coming back to Buffalo. He grew up on the east side of Buffalo, went to the Navy, and got involved with Veterans Radio, and then eventually got a job as a newsman at WKBW Radio in the 50s. He's the one who hired Irv Weinstein to come back to Buffalo as a radio newsman. And then he went to New York City at WRFM and got heavily involved in then album rock, and met the Beatles and became a working had a working relationship with Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, and went on to manage 12 stations nationally. He was a big national programmer, but then returned to Buffalo, his hometown, in the 80s, did some programming, and then I first discovered him when he was doing a small – he was on a small AM station doing an afternoon sports call-in show, and I found him to be completely unique. And I was working at WKBW-TV at the time, so I did a story on him, and Irv Weinstein almost fell off the anchor desk. He, I didn't know he had such a long history with Art, and Art eventually got hired on your WGR 550, and was the afternoon drive, was a very popular call-in radio host, and then we snatched him away over to Empire Sports in the mid-90s, and he had his own... He co-hosted Fan Forum with me for a while on Monday nights, and then he did his own Don't Get Me Started program in the afternoons. And then we also had him over on 107.7 WNSA, which you guys now have as The Wolf. So Art was everywhere. I mean, he was incredible. He was an accomplished pianist. He recorded a 45 with the Toon Rockers back in the 60s, a song called Green Mosquito. You can still find it on YouTube. I mean, Art was just everywhere.
You know, when you mentioned on Empire, I remember when they used Art to parody the Six Flags commercials.
Art was such a great sport. We used him, and we try to do a number of humorous promos. And Art was the old man dancing out of the he came out of our satellite truck and started dancing. One of the more famous ones was where we brought him out of a closet, tied up in ropes with scotch tape, with a tape across his mouth, and put him on the set to start his Don't Get Me Started show. But he did a number of funny promos. He was such a great sport. And, you know, sometimes people thought it was all about fun and laughter with Art, but there was a serious side to Art. He was a dedicated sports journalist. I mean, he knew much more about sports than he let on. I mean, you know, he did what he had to do to generate calls on his call-in radio shows. But and then he and Bill Polian became fast friends after Bill told him to get out of town at that famous get out of town news conference he held that day. So,
Bob, where did the tiny tot of Kilowatt and Private Pope, where did that come from?
So he had a couple nicknames. My favorite was Artie Baby Boo Boo, but the tiny tot of the Kilowatt, he actually admitted one day that he stole that from a radio broadcaster out of Chicago. Your own sports pope or whatever he called himself, I mean, first of all, this is how unique Art was. Now, you're in the business, and obviously, you know, if you're a call-in host, you want to be on when people are in their cars. And Art was put on afternoon drive on GR, and he didn't like it. He didn't like what he called the formatics. He didn't like to have to break for weather, or for news, and traffic updates. So he asked to be put on nights. And that's highly unusual in the business. But that was Art. Art just wanted to do his thing and do his show. And like I said, then we hired him away. He was so much fun to work with.
You know, Bob, I can relate to that. Not that this show, but you know, when I fill in that afternoon show, sometimes that traffic comes up, and you know, you're getting texts saying, "Hey, it's 22. Why aren't you breaking for traffic yet?" I understand. Right. Now after Empire, where did Art go?
So Art, well, you know, when Art Wander was on Empire Sports, he would never tell me his age. So I'm talking about the late 90s. I now realize, doing the math, that Art was just starting in television when most people are retiring. Art was already in his late 60s. So after Art was done with Empire Sports and WNSA, he lived with his daughter Kelly and his granddaughter Angela, and he used to go to the Amherst Senior Center and entertain the folks there. He would play the piano for hours. I would have him on when I was doing a sports show on WBBZ TV. Art was a regular, and Art, you know, on Howard Simon's last day on GR, we had Hart. We had a recording from Art from the skilled nursing center. He still was he was still spot on and left a great message for Howard, which I know touched Howard quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, and I go back to those Empire days, Bob, because that's, you know, that's what I think. When I think of Art, I think of the Empire Sports Network. And just, again, if you're my age, you're coming home from school, you're flipping that TV on, and Empire is on until you go to bed. I mean, that's it's Art, it's Fan TV, it's the Empire Sports Report, it's the Sabres, you know? I mean, that station was such a part of sports fans' lives, and Art was a big part of that, because that kind of kicked off your afternoon programming.
Yeah, Art was a very big part of Empire. As I said, we used him in a lot of the promos, and Art was not just very good on the air, but Art was an excellent programmer, and Art was also very good at analyzing talent. He helped discover and propel Dan Patrick, who went on to ESPN. He met Dan in Dayton, Ohio, one of the stations that he was overseeing. And he also helped Rick Dees get a national career. But Art would talk to me oftentimes. He had a phrase. He'd say, you know, don't do this. That's a crutch. You're using that as a crutch. And, you know, like, don't blink your eyes, or don't use this word every time you start a sentence. So Art was a very skilled broadcaster. Like I said, a lot of people thought, you know, he was all about having fun and joking around, but there was a side to Art that was very deep. I mean, he still, I'm sure he had it in his possession up until his passing. He had a letter from Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, thanking him for being the first station to launch A Day in the Life, you know, one of the Beatles classic hits. So he was there at Shea Stadium when the Beatles were at Shea's. He had a photo for many years of sitting on Paul McCartney's lap in a hotel suite after the concert, and somebody swiped it from his desk at an earlier radio station. But I could go on and on about Art. I mean, I know so many of his stories. He was so much fun to sit and have lunch with and talk to. He was just a great guy.
You know, so he's at OR in New York. He's out of town. In the 80s, what brought him back to Buffalo? What brought him back to his hometown?
I believe his management position, where he was overseeing 12 stations, there was a change in ownership. And, you know the business. There was a change in ownership, and they changed staff. And he came back home. And he had a beautiful little girl and a little boy, and came back to town. And he was programming one of the local FM stations. And, in fact, and I'm being careful here not to mention call letters, but he was given that afternoon on 1400 AM, you know, it was like a one-hour call-in show. And it was totally unique. You know, the 80s are so much different than the world we live in today. And, you know, WBEN radio, when John Murphy and Howard Simon did, you know, when John Murphy did a call-in show at night, he also played records. So it was a different business. And Art was unique
for sure
when he started doing this afternoon call-in show. And, I mean, by rights, nobody should have found that show, but he was so different. And when I heard it, I said, I got to do a story on this guy. And then to be on this small AM station and to garner the wrath of Bill Polian at the time, that his one-hour commentary was getting under Bill's skin. And I know a funny story. Bill's son, Brian, used to put 1400 AM on his dad's on his car radio. So that when he would start the car, that would be the station that would come up just to tease his dad. But and then Art became, like I said, great friends with Bill and Marv Levy. He had a running joke with Bill's owner, Ralph Wilson, that he wanted to marry Ralph's daughter. And it just, you can go on and on. And anybody who met him back then, Art had a little magic trick where he would start talking to you, and then he'd pull out a cigarette out of his pack of cigarettes, and then supposedly, seemingly sticking the cigarette up his nose to the point where it disappeared, and it was a little sleight of hand. And especially the pretty young girls, that was his favorite thing to do. And he would leave them, you know, just stunned as he would walk away. So he was a character. He was a great guy. He was a good father. Just, you know, and a nice Polish boy from Buffalo.
And Bob, you and Art stayed in contact. And like you said, he recorded that goodbye message for Howard on his last day over at WGR. So he was still he still had his finger on the pulse of Western New York up to the end.
Yeah, his daughter Kelly said even, you know, his last day with us, he was talking about the Mets and our baseball record that's soon to be broken. I mean, he said he died with a Bills blanket on his bed, a Mets banner on the wall, and Frank Sinatra singing My Way on Alexa, which Art used to call Alaska. So he had a great life. He just had a terrific – he had a fantastic career, and he had a full life.
He really did, and we are, you know, Bobby talked about the situation of him coming back to Buffalo, but we're very fortunate that it turned out the way it did because he blessed us with so many decades here in Buffalo media.
Absolutely. You know, Buffalo's broadcast history would be lacking if it didn't have an Art Wander in it. He was a proud Buffalonian. He got his start here. He moved on to bigger and better things, but returned home and then had a third career that was probably, you know, made him more renowned than anything else he had done.
For sure, for sure. Well, Bob, I know it's not an easy day, but so fortunate and thankful that you're able to hop on and help us remember Art today.
Yeah, I hope people do remember Art. You know, he was unique, and he deserves recognition, so I'm glad to just be a little part of that. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bob. That is Bob Kaczynski talking about the passing of Art Wander at 98 years old, passing away. And again, I mean, a Buffalo Broadcaster Hall of Fame inductee in 2008. And like I said, if you're my age, if you're in your, you know, late 30s, early 40s, you were in older. I don't know why I'm just saying my age. My age and older. The reason I'm saying that is because Noah's here. And Noah doesn't remember Empire Sports Network because Noah wasn't born until 96. So I'm putting that out there. But, you know, for me, my age, I remember, you know, Empire like I could go home and turn it on today. And Art Wander was a big part of that. And he was on our sister station, WGR. He was on WNSA, which wasn't our sister station at the time but is now. And even on 1400, which is another sister station of WBEN. I'd like to hear your thoughts. 803-0930, star 930. Remembering Art Wander here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Artie Baby Boo Boo, that's, I remember, I remember that name. The other two didn't ring a bell. The tiny tot of Kilowatt and Your Private Pope. But Bob mentioned those, and again, Artie Baby Boo Boo, I remember that. I mean, that they would refer to him as that on Empire. So, I mean, just a great career in this industry, and to go to stations like WOR. I mean, to start off at WKBW, right? Legendary KB. Go to WOR, you know, helping the Beatles out, having a letter from the Beatles manager. I mean, what a full career, and then still, you know, talking about sports right up to the end, and having the Mets and the Bills, we love that. Just a great career and a great guy. I mean, everyone that's texting me about Art. You know, people who have worked with Art in the past are texting me and talking about how great of a person he was and how fun he was to work with. You heard that with Bob. And, again, 98 years old, it's a great life and a great career in media, not only in Western New York, but beyond. And by the way, I mean, just like I said, how fortunate are we? I'm sure at the time he didn't like, you know, he didn't love the fact that he was let go in New York. But to come back to Buffalo and, you know, for three decades, or over three decades, bless us with his talents on various other stations, get into TV when he came back to Western New York, definitely left his mark here on Western New York, on all the media outlets that he was on. 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get on. Remembering Art Wander, if you want to give us your memories of Art, a Buffalo media legend. Again, if you're just joining us, he has passed away at the age of 98 years old. And we are remembering him this afternoon. You can also text us, 803-0930, star 930. If you want to, we'll obviously ask Tom Bowerly about Art when he joins us for Crosstalk at the end of the hour. And we'll be talking with you after this. It's Joe Beamer live from the Erie County Fair on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer live from the Erie County Fair. Wow. And we are talking about the passing of Buffalo legend Art Wander. 98 years old. Remember Art from his days at Empire and WNSA, and obviously over at our sister station, WGR. John DeShula joins us now on the line. John, thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. Joe, Art Wander, you know, you hear the word legend in broadcasting, and sometimes it's kicked around with people that certainly are worthy, but Art was worthy of quite worthy of having been called a legend. He had, as you probably know from talking to Bob Kaczynski and others, a deep connection with news, entertainment. I mean, to be connected to the Beatles and the manager of the Beatles, and then have a career that spanned so many decades and took so many twists and turns. I first met Art when he was doing a sports radio show on 1400 AM, a small station. And it really put him back on the map after having spent many years outside of Buffalo. He came back. And I remember I was promotion manager at Channel 7 at the time, and we sponsored his show. And he just talked all about us. And he was just a great broadcaster. And I got to know him through those years. And then, of course, at WBBZ, when Bob Kaczynski was here, he would come in and do all kinds of segments with Bob and had a great time. He was always regaling us in stories. And some of them were amazing about his career and the people that he met in this business. So we wish his daughter Kelly the best and his many friends and fans.
You know, John, the radio nerd in me, you know, hears 1400. It's a 1,000 watt station, and you know these are back before you could stream online. So it shows how much talent you have if you're able to stick out at a station that you really can't get all around Western New York. It really speaks to his talent.
Well, he had a very interesting delivery. you know, everybody remembers when he, wait a minute. And then he got into some arguments with the then Bills general manager, Bill Polian. He wasn't afraid to make a statement and offer commentary. He had a unique style. So no matter the wattage of the radio station that he was on, he exponentially broadened that with his amazing personality. And everybody loved Art. You know, there wasn't a human being that met him that didn't, you know, really love him. And he connected with everybody so well. He was a regular guy. He didn't take himself seriously. He had no ego. He enjoyed what he did. He loved what he did. And I think that speaks to many of us in this business. We do it because we love doing it. He really loved it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to, you can be serious and not take yourself seriously. And I think that's what it sounds like Art was, even when the mic and cameras were off.
Well, and he was very naturally funny. We had done, during one of the Olympics, we had done some funny bits here at WBBZ where Art was supposed to be in Sochi. And, of course, he wasn't, obviously. He was in front of a green screen. And he just ad-libbed it with Bob, and those are great clips. And I'm going to post some of them on my Facebook page from the WBBZ YouTube. So many will be sharing their stories of Art. He was great friends with Irv Weinstein, the late news anchor for Channel 7. And he and Irv shared a great respect for each other because Art knew how to write. Art knew how to use alliteration, and that was Irv's benchmark.
You know, John, nothing against the people in media today in 2025. Hell, I'm in media in 2025. But, I mean, we really did, for Buffalo, New York, we did have some of the greatest talent in the 90s on TV and in radio.
Well, you know, Joe, we did, and we still do. And, you know, this market has been a very important one for so many people who've gone on to bigger markets, but they always remember their time in Buffalo as part of the, you know, their greatest part of their journey. You know, I'm from Philadelphia originally, and I've come here, you know, almost 40 years ago, and it's my adopted home, and it's the best. And Buffalo, the listeners, as you know from being at the fair, they resonate. They come right up to you. You are a part of their lives, and we connect with people, and that's what Art did. He connected with people. He was from the east side of Buffalo. He had no pretense. He connected with everybody.
You know, I was telling Bob this, but, you know, the fact that, you know, New York changed management, ownership, and, you know, he ended up back in Buffalo. I'm sure at the time he's probably thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, where do I go now? And we're very fortunate that his career took that turn because he blessed us with over three decades of contributions here in Western New York.
It really was a blessing because he reinvented himself at that time. And he reinvented, to some degree, he reinvented sports talk. You know, sports talk, you know, on WBEN at night with John Murphy and some of the other hosts prior to John, you know, it was a very, very conservative approach toward sports talk. Art blew that up. Art created much more controversial sensibility of things. And now every sports talk show, every podcast, everything you see has a little bit of Art Wander in it with a little bit of controversy and a little bit of opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically every show on ESPN in 2025.
Yep, he was the pioneer in that, that's for sure.
For sure, for sure. You know, John, he went from radio and then made that switch to TV for Empire, doing more regular TV segments. What do you think, what's that kind of switch like in media, especially in the 90s, to go from radio to then throwing some TV in there?
Well, you know, he was ready for it. You know, Art, like Irv, you know, was a regular guy. He was not an anchor man in the sense of, you know, the look, so to speak. But that didn't matter because he was a broadcaster and he was able to transcend the difference between radio and television because of the content, again, because of his opinions, because of his knowledge and his ability to communicate. And Empire, if you remember, was not only a regional sports network that Bob and that team put together, it was national. And, you know, he was on a national platform talking about Buffalo sports, and he was quite colorful and offered a great insight and was beloved by the players. They really enjoyed talking to him when he would do his interviews because it was Art.
You know, John, I got to ask you this. Last time we talked, I think I asked you what was the impact of trash TV. You mentioned Empire, and Art was such a big part of Empire Sports Network. What's the lasting impact from Empire Sports Network? I mean, the station's been off the air for over 20 years, and I mean, I talk with my friends. It comes up in conversations quite regularly.
Well, I think one of the lasting impacts of it, Joe, is at the time, you didn't have the proliferation of media and social media that you have today that carries sports content. You can get sports content in so many spaces now that, you know, take your pick. But back then, the impact was that was it. There was not a 24-hour a day sports network on television or radio, but in Buffalo, unless you were watching or listening to Empire. So the impact that it had was that it left you and others at that time with great memories of sports, because that was where you got it from. That was the only space to get it from, aside from the short clips and the news on the legacy stations at night and radio.
Hey, John DeShulo, thank you so much for joining us. Wish it was under better terms, but thanks for helping us remember Art Wander.
Yep, Artie, baby boo-boo. We'll never forget you.
That is John DeShulo, currently at WBBZ, who, by the way, they are here at the fair. They're like diagonal from us, remembering Art Wander. We're going to connect with Mike DeGeorge, but first we're going to talk with Dave in Amherst. Dave, thanks for hanging on. What are your memories of Art Wander?
Well, first, Joe, the degrees of separation, I met John DeShulo at the same time as Art Wander's son Scott did, because we were both interns at Channel 7. This would have been 1981 or possibly 82. And then years later, I spent 12 years doing 7 to Midnight at 104. When I started, it was WNYS in 84. And then I believe it was 86 or 87, we switched format and became Classic Hits, WHTT. And Art Wander was doing 7 to Midnight at, and I can't remember now if it was WBUF or GR55, but he was number one in the ratings in men 25 to 54 and adults 25-54. Well, when we changed format, we became the number one station in adults, women, and men 25 to 54, and I jumped up to that at night. So I met Art Wander, who I had only heard about through his son up until then, at Pilot Field back in the day. We were doing a promotion. There was some big concert there. And I introduced myself to put out my hand. I said, Art, I said, Dave Macy, a pleasure to meet you. And his response was, so you're the punk that beat me in men and adults 25 to 54. And we laughed about it. And he couldn't have been more gracious. He was very interested in, you know, what school I had gone to and my background and the business, and just a super nice guy. And then after that, you know, I would see him at other things that all the stations were participating in, whether it was the Erie County Fair or the Variety Club Telethon annually, and just such a great guy. I could talk to somebody like him for hours on end, hearing about the good old days and getting advice from somebody who is a legend like him. But again, it was such a great guy, and I'm glad to have had the pleasure of knowing him a bit.
A Buffalo legend. Hey, Dave, appreciate you checking in. By the way, are you out here at the fair?
I was there all day yesterday, but I'm not. I'm going to try and get out there tomorrow evening.
All right, man. Sounds good. That is Dave in Amherst. Dave, appreciate the call. Remembering Art Wander, who left us at 98 years old, Buffalo legend. And, you know, by the way, I mean, like I said, my phone is getting blown up with people who worked with Art, who knew Art, and they're all saying good things. You know, everyone has such great things to say about a great guy. And again, had a lasting impact on Buffalo media. And, really, I mean, came back to Buffalo in the 80s and like I said, for over three decades, really left his mark. Another person who worked with him was Mike DeGeorge over at Empire, and he joins us now. Mike, thanks for checking in. Your memories of Art Wander.
Joe, thanks for having me. You know, my memories of art started a little bit sooner before I got to Empire, actually, when I was at Channel 2 as the weekend sports anchor. Art and I would obviously cross paths a lot, covering the Bills and Sabres for a long time. And, you know, I think the thing about art that stood out, I think a lot of people maybe saw art as maybe just an entertainer. But I think art really was able to combine the ability to be, as a radio host, to be critical and tough and also funny at the same time. And he really married those two things together very well. And, you know, I didn't realize that Art had passed. I just had gotten the call from you guys letting me know, and, you know, sort of a flood of thoughts and memories came into my head. He was, you know, he's what they would call a good listen. I mean, you had to listen to Art when he was on the radio because you never knew. And as I said, he had that ability to sort of thread the needle when it came to being tough, but also funny at the same time.
You know, Mike, when you think of Art Wander, if you're like me in your late 30s, early 40s, and you think Art Wander, you think getting home from school and turning on Empire Sports Network. How much did Art and Empire, that combination? I mean, it was a great daily entertainment for me when I got home from school.
No question, and I'm a bit older than 35 or 40, Joe, so yes. nonetheless, you know, I think, Joe, it was a different time in sports broadcasting back then for the locals. It's not like today where the networks, especially when it comes to football coverage for the most part, they drive everything, the Schefters and the Rappaports, they get all the big news. But back then, it was much more competitive on the local scene, and reporters, radio hosts, they were all vying for those stories. And so, you know, when we were together at Empire, you know, and Art was obviously a part of this group, I mean, we had a flock of people that were working daily on breaking stories, and it was just a different time. And at that point, you know, Empire was starting to just come onto the scene. Obviously, struck it big when the Sabres went to the finals in 99. I think that was really sort of the you know, the moment for the Empire Sports Network. And Art played a big role in Empire coming onto the scene the way they came on the scene.
Empire, and then obviously WNSA, when that kicked off, Art had a show on there.
Yeah, listen, he had the unique ability to do a lot of things. I always remember him. I would remember passing him in the hallway. I was on the TV side of the Empire Sports Network and doing the nightly sports report at 10:30, and Art was on the radio side. And, you know, he'd always have this chuckle when you would pass him by. I mean, Art was just one of those guys that he was funny, and he was an entertainer. But, I mean, Art knew his stuff, and as I said, he was must listen to when he was on the radio, especially when it came to the Bills and the famous or the infamous get out of town episode. So, I mean, Art is one of those guys that you just every day it was like, okay, what's he going to bring next? And it was a real trait on his part.
Well, Mike, great talking with you. Sorry you had to be under these conditions, but great talking to you, remembering Art Wander. Thank you so much.
Joe, thanks for reaching out. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. That is Mike DeGeorge. He worked with Art over at the Empire Sports Network, and another individual who worked at the same station as Art Wander in the 90s is our next guest, the host of the next show, Tom Bowerly. Tom, your memories of Art Wander?
Art Wander was just a great guy and a tremendously talented broadcaster and just a really awesome human being, frankly. And coming up after the news at 3 o'clock with Tom Puckett, we're going to talk to Art Wander's daughter, Kelly, with whom I was in touch today. She let me know. Kelly, of course, I won't give you all the circumstances, but we were in touch a couple of years ago over another issue, and she held on to my number and let me know what was going on with her dad. But Art is... I really want to ask Kelly if Art's last words were, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute! Because that would have been so Art. I'm just saying. Now, don't be offended if you're listening. I knew him. Did you know him? Because I knew him. And that he would be laughing right now.
Well, Tom, you know, I mean, 98, that's a good life, but never easy to say goodbye to anybody, especially a legend like him.
No, absolutely, absolutely not. And, you know, Kelly and her dad were close. Scott, his son, and Art were close. And, you know, I just... obviously, he had a great long life, but, you know, I thought Art was old 30 years ago. Times have changed a little bit, but 98 years old. I don't know that Art ever saw himself living to 98, but, yeah, he was a thin guy. He was trim. He stayed in pretty good shape, stayed active, and I think that has a lot to do with it. And, by the way, in some way, shape, or form, Art Wander related to my first wife.
Oh, all right. Well, Tom, looking forward to that. And, by the way, Tom, have a great trip. With the listeners. Can't wait to hear all about it.
I am so excited. You cannot believe how I'm looking forward to the 9-hour flight, no doubt sandwiched in the middle between two giants in the aisles.
Well, Tom, I can't wait to hear about the flight and so much more. Looking forward to the show and then your trip, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. And I'm looking forward to my first 5 drinks on the plane.
Well, that is Tom Bowerly. He is up next. His final show before going on his trip with some listeners. So looking forward to hearing all about that. And like he said, coming up right after the news with Tom Puckett, he will have Art Wander's daughter on. Have yourself a great Thursday evening. Rest in peace, Art Wander. And don't touch that dial. Tom Bowerly is up after Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal Ark machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.